Our New Testament scripture reading this morning is the epistle from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 13 to 15, chapter 15, verse 4. Hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment. Okay, whenever we have a therefore, we got to go back and find out what it's there for. What Paul is talking about is the problem that they're having in how they express their worship of God. The description that he uses mostly is here is what a person eats or what they don't eat. So there are people at this time. There are the Christians who are the Jews who have grown up with very strong rituals all their lives of not eating certain foods and of eating certain foods in certain ways and of keeping their food kosher and washing in a certain way. And then you have the people who are, and this is how Paul was raised. He was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were the strictest of all. They were the ones who obeyed every rule and regulation, not only of God, but of man that had added on top of it. And this was, Paul had grown up with this, and Paul is saying it doesn't matter what you eat, it doesn't matter how you eat it. It's not, as Jesus says, not what goes into you that causes harm, but what comes out of you that causes harm. Still, if he's saying, if you offend another and injure their faith, cause a newer believer, or he calls it a weaker believer, a problem, because you express that freedom that you have through Jesus Christ, that you are guilty. And you should not, and it doesn't hurt you to follow their ritual. It doesn't hurt you to eat the food that they eat. If they believe that eating meat is wrong, then you can eat vegetables. You don't have to have meat. Don't offend your brother just because you have a clear understanding of what Christ has said. It's more important to not offend your brother in a matter that doesn't separate them from Christ. Obviously, Eating the foods in the ritual way doesn't separate anybody from God. What he's saying is you don't have to do it, but if it offends somebody else, then go along with them and don't offend them, because you'll eliminate your ability to share the gospel with them to help them grow. That's the therefore. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle into your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for anyone. It is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. And we're going on to chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, my friends, Paul is saying here that just because you have the right to do something does not mean that it is what God indeed wants you to do. Our Christian understanding of God's word gives us a freedom. At the time Jesus was living as a man upon this earth, we know that he was raised in the strict Jewish culture, and there were foods you could not eat, there were things you could not drink, you had to wash in a certain way before you ate, and you had to worship in a certain way. So here we have Paul, who in his previous life as Saul, before Christ drew him in, had been a very strict Pharisee. And he said he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And so he, not only did he try to keep the commandments, he also tried to keep all of the traditions of the elders, that the Jewish people had layered upon layer upon layer of rules and regulations and things you must do and must not do. But now we find Paul out preaching in his ministry to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. And he did not impose upon them those restrictions that the Jews had followed, but he followed what Jesus Christ said, that you, whatever you eat, whatever God made is good, and you're free to eat it if you want, and whatever God made is good, you're free to drink it if you want, and you do not need to follow all these ceremonies and rituals. Still, he said, but if doing so separates your brother or sister from their faith, if they find it as sinful and therefore they cannot abide in the word that you share with them, then don't do it. And we read and we heard Frank read in the Old Testament lesson today that God had told David, who Saul had sought and persecuted and tried to kill for 10 years. God had prophesied to David that he would deliver Saul into his hands and he could do what he wanted with him. He had the right to kill Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. But David wanted to please God. David wanted to do what was right, not what he was allowed to do. David wanted to give a testimony to his soldiers who followed him. He wanted to show them that just because God has given me the right to do this doesn't mean I can do this. He said, God forbid that I would do this. God has appointed him king, and God gives all leaders authority. And I'll not go against him. And so instead he cut off a corner of his robe. And he was richly rewarded by Saul's repentance. And King Saul knew when this occurred that his time as king was over. And David didn't have to take his life. And don't you know that this pleased God? And David was richly rewarded for this. We hear of many ministries where they constantly preach against drinking and smoking, and constantly preach against movies and all kinds of things that are going on in the world. And for many of us, those things can cause no harm. But for many of us, those things are death and deadly and harmful. And we as believers are called to abstain from any activity or food or drink or action that harms our brothers and sisters. How can someone hear what you are saying to them about your faith? How can someone understand what you are saying to them about the Word of God if they are so distracted by something that you're doing that you may have the freedom to do, but that they find offensive? That's what Paul is saying to us. He's saying that just because we've been given this freedom, God gave David the freedom to take King Saul's life. Paul is saying that God does give you the freedom. God has lifted all these many rules and regulations from your lives. He's given you the freedom to do that, but he expects you to do that in abundant love. He expects you to do that, to follow his word in spirit, not in fact. Now, the Ten Commandments he expects you to follow in fact. There is no exception. You do not kill, you do not steal, you honor your parents, and so on. Those are to be obeyed in fact. But God is saying that he's relieved us of all of these many minute rules and regulations and restrictions. But that doesn't give us the freedom to do anything that will lead our brothers and sisters astray. If we have somebody who has a weakness for alcohol, and we are able to take an occasional drink, have a beer or have an occasional drink socially and walk away from it, that's fine. But if we are around someone that has a weakness for this, we are not allowed to do that. It may be that some of us like to smoke a cigar or a pipe and everything, and that's fine. But if we are around someone who has an addiction to cigarettes, we're not allowed to do that. We are not allowed to abuse our brothers and sisters who are struggling in their faith and in their health and in their survival. We're not allowed to do that. There's just a whole litany of things, which I will not go through, that we have the freedom to do in life, but it does not give us a license to do them at all times. What the scripture is trying to tell us, and tell us emphatically, is that you are your brother's keeper. You are your sister's keeper. You are responsible for how your sisters and your brothers fare in their growth and their walk with Christ. You're not allowed to be the strong, bold Christian who can walk in faith and say, this is right and this is wrong, and I'm going to do this. The scripture says this is okay, and walk through life that way without regard for one another, because that is not loving one another. That is not loving the Lord through our love for one another as we love ourselves. And of course, that leads us back to as we love ourselves, is we wonder, okay, is this right, is this wrong? Well, we just have to simply put ourselves in the other's place. How, if you were in their position, how would you want someone to act around you? How would you want someone to respond to you? Would you want them to tell you you're stupid, that kind of stuff doesn't matter? Or would you want them to respond to you in love and join you? It is very tempting when we are around a person who is new in their faith or is old in their faith but weak in their faith to show our strong knowledge, to show our strong faith, to show the freedom that God gives us. But Scripture is telling us we're not to do that. We're not to do that. We are to come alongside of them, to be with them, sure, to lead them by our example, but to do so in love and over time and with patience and with perseverance. As I've told you many times, I always like the quotation, I love the quotation of Zig Ziglar, who's a great motivational speaker. He's an old guy now, a lot of us are like that, but he's also a devout Christian, and he always says that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And it is so important that we show people how much love we have for them, how we'll put ourselves second, and we will do those things that help them to come closer to a knowledge of God, and not push them out and not make them feel uncomfortable. I've been asked, not necessarily in this congregation before, why there is not more what we used to call when I was a kid, hellfire and brimstone, okay, preaching and everything. And the fact is that the hellfire and brimstone will take care of itself. What we need to know, and what I concentrate my ministry on, is what the Scripture says and how we apply it to our lives. The so what of ministry. What difference does it make? We need to, and I think that's the question we need to ask, is, am I living every day, all day, every moment, every thought and word to please God? David, who'd been waiting for an opportunity to stop this nightmare of being pursued by tens of thousands of soldiers every time that King Saul found out where he was, David had the opportunity to end it once and for all that day. And yet he chose a way pleasing to God to do this. How can we do less? How can we not overcome the slight discomfort, the slight inconvenience, the slight change of our style, change of our way, change of our words, change of our actions to accommodate a fellow Christian, to help them to experience the love, to help not distract them away from the things of life so that they can understand the meaning of life, which is found in God's Word? It's very important that we live our lives as a blessing to those around us. Now, does that mean that if someone is saying something that is truly against the Scripture, that we should go along and get along? Absolutely not. We are to be strong in the Scripture. The Scripture says what it says. It is unchanging. It is forever. And we are to live that. But as far as the ritual, as far as how we worship the Lord on Sunday, as far as what we eat, what we drink, and where we, what we smoke, where we do it, how we talk around people, we are to do those things in a way that not to drive people away from the Lord, but to pull them into the love of the family of Christ. Jesus Christ went in and sat down and was one of the accusations that was made against him at his trial was that he ate with sinners and tax collectors, and he spent his time with these people, and he didn't always insist that people observe all the tradition of the elders, and he was criticized for that. But Jesus Christ went in to win over the lost. He didn't go over to He said a physician does not need to heal the well. He said a physician needs to heal the sick. You and I, every single one of us, is not alone in this world. We are not alone in our journey to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ calls His people. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. There is no other head of the church other than Jesus Christ. And we are called to live our lives according to His will, according to His commandments, and we are called to love His people. And we can't love His people with condemnation. We can't love His people with judgment. We can't love His people with rules and regulations and things that we think are right. Think for us. We need to be in there with His people. We need to be in there drawing His people into a stronger understanding of our faith, of our understanding of Scripture. And we can't do that if we alienate people. Jesus Christ is calling us to love one another, but love one another in unique and creative ways, and to be highly sensitized to the need to do this. My friends, we're living in a world where people of strong faith are becoming a rare and harder to find thing in this world. And when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even if they don't have a full understanding, even if they are young in their faith, they are so precious in this day and age that we are called to nurture them. We are called to help them. We are called to bond with them and to draw them in, not to push them away, and not to hold them under judgment because they don't have it just right in our opinion. May God work in our lives. May God call us and guide us. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ gives us the salvation and the grace. God has forgiven our sins because of His grace. He has forgiven our sins in the name of Jesus Christ because of His grace. And the Holy Spirit guides us and helps us to have that peace, that understanding, and that love. Amen.